Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha. This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum. Welcome to Parts Unknown. And I'm so happy that you allow us to be in your home on this Tuesday evening. I want to welcome all our new listeners and our old listeners. But before we introduce my very, very special guest tonight, I have to introduce the man that had the vision to put the Sport Karate Museum on the air. We've been on the air now for almost 10 years, and I owe it to this man. He's got vision, ladies and gentlemen. He's from North Carolina, and I'm talking about the man that put the Who's Who books on the map here in the past few years, Hunchy Jesse Bowen. Hunchy, there, sir?
I am. How are you doing, sir?
I've been practicing for years to introduce you where you get goosebumps when I get done, but I'm gonna work on it harder, sir.
You're doing good. You're doing good. I appreciate that. You're doing good.
Well, I want to hear you say your slogan. How do you feel today?
Better, better, and better. Trying to make the world a better place.
That's your slogan. Well, anyway, Hachi, tell me about what's going on in New Orleans at your event coming up. No, it's not New Orleans. It's in Charlotte. Tell my listeners what's going on in Charlotte, what you're doing. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's getting me very excited. Ben and the Jet's going to be there, Bill Wallace, Joe Corley, Jeff Smith, Cynthia Rothrock. We are working on organizing a tournament for that day. We're actually doing a birth celebration for Linda Denley. We have the VIP reception. And, of course, we have the brand-new book coming out, which is the new title of our event, is Martial Arts Legacy. And there we're going to be honoring, Grandmaster Norris and all the people that have made the cover of the book. And we're wanting to bring everyone, we have way over 1,000 people that have been publishing our books, bringing them back together with their friends and new friends. And, we're just really looking for a super event and, setting it up that people can spend some vacation time in Charlotte, North Carolina. We set it up, they can come in early, then they can actually leave later that week with special hotel discounts. We've just got a new sponsor, Marketing Boost. And, we're actually doing something totally different, is that our inductees this year, they're going to get a vacation on us. So not only do you come to our event, and we're a nonprofit, so therefore you have the tax credit of our event, but we're actually going to send our inductees on a four-night vacation to several choices. So we're really excited about that. We have other sponsors that's coming on board. So we've just been really working to get the word out that, that the martial arts is a powerful tool to impact lives, make changes, and, teach martial artists how to be able to market themselves, get themselves out. Of course, we have our new book that just released about a week ago. It's an Amazon bestseller this week. We're moving into the international bestseller category. So, we've been staying busy and really branding ourselves as the go-to company, for martial artists that want to publish, write, and be able to monetize their books.
Well, that's exciting. And you mentioned all my friends and our history generals that are coming to your event. incredible, man. Benny and Jeff and Ari and Linda and Cynthia, that's so cool. Well, listen, what else you've got going on with your magazine? Tell me about your magazine that you're doing. And what you know, Victor was incredible.
Well, you know, the Victor Moore magazine that we did probably is our most successful magazine. You know, it hit, you know, bestsellers, outselling, especially in the martial arts categories of karate and taekwondo and judo and mixed martial arts. So it was our bestseller magazine. It's still here. It is, you know, several weeks later, it's still in the top 100 best-selling magazines. And so, you know, that was really incredible. We're getting ready to come out with our new magazine, and we're going to have you featured, the museum featured as a part of this new cover. And the first edition of the cover is actually a picture of everyone we've had on the cover of our magazine in the collage, but I won't give it away quite yet. We get ready to cover reveal, probably starting on tomorrow. But, yeah, the magazine, and, you know, unlike most organizations, the magazine is designed to support our members. So, you know, it's not designed to be a famous magazine. It's designed to be a marketing magazine that it goes with helping to build their credibility, to give them, you know, that added boost. So, you know, we come with a lot of benefits, you know, a lot of things that you're not able to get. You know, we're considering, haven't decided yet, since everybody likes these championship belts, I've been fighting doing it, but they're about to talk me into it. But now we have a great event coming up this year. We're really excited about it. We got feature plans. The Roku channel is getting ready to release next month. So not only do our members have the opportunity to be a part of our book, but they now have that opportunity to actually be on our Roku. I want to shout out to AJ. He's actually featured one of our authors in the Elite Martial Artists in America, and we have 29 masters and grandmasters who are featured in that book. And, you know, this is everyone that reads the book talks about how great it is, what a very inspiring and inspirational book it is. So just want to shout out to him and thank him for being a part of it.
I appreciate it, Auntie.
Appreciate
it, Auntie.
Well, you know, we appreciate you, AJ. Thank you so much for putting up with me every week for the past couple of years. But listen, Auntie, I want to ask you another question. Because you mentioned that the museum is going to be on the cover. Well, that's really cool. How do people contact you to be able to put articles in that issue that are well-known in the karate community that endorsed me for all these years? How will they get in touch with you to do an article in the magazine?
Well, the easy button to that, well, we're getting ready to, there's a link on our Who's Who in the Martial Arts website that they can go to, and if they're interested in writing or being on the cover of the magazine or bringing, you know, something, you know, to the magazine that's really going to empower the community, then they can go to our Who's Who website, or they can just email me at amawhoswho@gmail.com.
Well, super, super. Well, thank you so much for your time, your effort, and your energy for what you do, and I'll talk to you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Hunty Jesse Bowen, the visionary of the Elite Publication Company, the man that put us on the air a few years back. Now, before I introduce my special guest, I have to introduce two guys that watch my back every week. They're personal people of the museum, and they're very special. Now, did Dean, you get calling yet? I'm going to introduce him anyway. Dean Piles, golly, Ben, the Wolverine, is out of Florida, and he's actually been the co-host of this radio program from the beginning. And we want to make a big shout-out to him. And, you know, he's busy making movies and knocking people out. He's a cool guy. But the other guy that puts up with me, he's from Ohio. And, golly, bum, he's been my friend for a long time. In fact, He is the official spokesman of the military advisory board we have at the museum. He is someone that, as you know, I don't use the word master or grandmaster very often, but I really enjoy saying the word master from his name. Because he is. He's a master in Taekwondo Karate, a Korean form of martial art. He's in Cleveland, Ohio. In fact, he's the only martial artist that's ever been inducted into the sport Cleveland Hall of Fame. And I love to bring him on right now, Mr. A.J. Perry, Master A.J. Perry. A.J., you there?
Oh, Gary, thank you for the nice introduction. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk through the door.
Checks in the mail, right? Well, when I get off done with you, get on the phone and see if the Wolverine's cool and if he's okay. Just check, tell him we're checking up on him. That's all. So anyway, hey, how you doing, buddy? How you been?
Doing well. Doing real well.
Good.
How weather's starting to break.
Is it cold up there yet?
No, it's not bad. We're in the 50s, and it's golf weather, cool. So it's all good.
Good. How's your eye? I know you had a problem with your eye a few weeks ago. How are you doing with your eye?
My right eye is shot, so I keep my eye on things. My other eye.
You keep your eye on things. That's a Yankee joke, right? A Yankee joke? I got it. Okay, well, listen. I got a special show tonight. I've got a fellow Ohioan. I hope I'm saying that right. Anyway, we go back, golly bum, to the early 70s. When I was in Canton, Ohio, and he was in with Mr. Madden. I'm talking about the great Toki Hill. Now, this man was instrumental, along with a man named Mr. George Anderson and a few other great people, Mikami Sensei, Thomas LaPuppet Sensei, Roger Green, a lot of people who helped create the USAF, the Federation, the United States of America Federation, to get the dream of a lot of fighters to work for the Olympics. And we're going to talk about this, but besides that, this young man, well, he's not a young man anymore, I don't think, but anyway, in his day, he was one of the baddest guys we had in America. And I mean that, and we're going to talk about that too. I want to bring him on right now. Personal friends, one of the original history generals of the Sport Karate Museum, Mr. Toki Hill. Toki, you there, buddy?
Yes, Gary, thank you. And thanks for the introduction. I don't know if I can live up to it, but thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, Toki, how are you?
New York, are you in Ohio right now? Where you at?
Hey, Toki.
Yes, sir.
Your ears must have been buzzing this weekend. Don Matthews and I were at a tournament together, and we were talking about you. I was asking about how you were doing.
Yeah, how's he doing?
He's doing well. I'm going to see him this Friday. Actually, we're going to have dinner.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Well, listen, Toki, are you in Ohio right now or in New York?
Yes, I'm in South Central Ohio, Chillicothe. It's 45 miles south of Columbus, which is the capital. And as Sensei said earlier, we're in the 50s down here. Unfortunately, we got a little rain down here, but it's clearing up.
Well, I know you have schools in New York too. That's why I asked. You lived in New York how many years ago? Back in the 80s or the 90s?
I left Ohio in 83, and I spent 28 years in Long Island,
yes.
Port Washington and Great Neck, and had a great time. Love the
now,
city.
You make black belt. What year did you make black belt under Mr. Madden? Yeah, if I'm
1976.
Wow.
Yep.
I was in Canton, Ohio, and I was hating Ohio because of the snow. Remember when they used to shut down the cities? It was so cold.
Oh, yeah.
Snow everywhere. Now,
well,
I
you
got,
know, we got
I
a
got
lot of farm. Yeah.
Sir?
What did you say?
I didn't hear you.
No, I said we have a lot of farmland in Ohio,
yes.
So the snow blows, the wind just whips across the field. So Yeah, it gets cold down here.
Now, how old were you when you started karate? Did you start with Mr. Madden? How old were you when you started?
Yeah, I started with Don. I started boxing with him prior to the martial arts, but in 1973 is when I first started.
1973. Wow. Yep. Cool. Now, you became, like I said earlier in the opening, you became one of the most well-known and most prolific fighters that we ever had in America, not just because of your fighting style, which was unique, but you won. You had the ability to win championships. But you also did something really cool, and I love this. You got involved with the USAF. Now, tell me that little story. How did you get involved with Mr. Anderson and your vision to put karate in the Olympics?
Myself and several of the other guys, Billy Blaine, we were all from the open circuit. And yeah, back then, the open circuit was a lot rigid, or a lot more, you know.
The Budweiser team, that was your first team, right? The Budweiser team that you were on, or the Trans World?
No, it was Trans World Oil, and then Atlantic Refining and Marketing. And then Anheuser-Busch, or the Budweiser national team. So, you know, I mean, like most athletes, everybody looks at either, you know, going to the Olympics or going pro, or, you know, and my dream always was to go to the Olympics. I used to watch it on television, and, you know, it was, I thought, and I still do believe the greatest honor an athlete can do is the ability to represent their country in, you know, in international sport. You know, it's when you go to these major events, you know, the Pan American Games, the World Games, you know, you have, you know, anywhere from, you know, 75 to, you know, 150 countries there. It's a really moving event. It's a great experience, and you know, it's just an honor to be there. That's the way I looked at it.
Well, I feel exactly the same way. I remember, okay, I'm gonna be nice, but I'm gonna tell you. I remember back in the day, if you won a state championship, it was a big deal. And then if you won a national championship, it was even a bigger deal. And then there was a few promoters, and a couple of small, they would have 5 or 10 or 15 states there. They invite Mexico, Canada, and they call themselves a world championship. Well, Tucky, you and I both, we fought places where there were 100-plus countries in a tournament.
Yes.
That was a real world championship. And God bless you, Tokyo. Now, I want to ask you again. I got to tell you, Ralph, that my son made me promise to tell you how much he appreciated you and what you did for him back in the day when you brought us in for the Arnold Schwarzenegger's event. And I can't remember what year that was. I want to say 2003 or 2004, I can't remember. But anyway, we had that big banquet, and it was so cool, buddy. I mean, good memories back then, good memories now. How did you get involved with the Schwarzenegger event?
Well, I first met Arnold in 1981 in Santa Clara, California, at the World Games. So we all were at the housing complex, and basically, you roomed up with other athletes, and in the quad that we were in, Arnold was there. I don't know if you remember the high jumper.
Yes.
Mike Stone or Dwight Stone.
Yeah.
And so we all were in this, and Billy Blanks, myself, we were all in the same squad. Of course, you know, Arnold was always intrigued, and, you know, he was a advocate of the martial arts. He always supported the martial arts. And then right after I resigned from the Budweiser national team, I got picked up by the Arnold Sports Festival in Columbus, Ohio. And I was with him for like 12 years, 13 years. And
well, you helped
so,
put the museum on the map, Toki, with that event.
Right.
And bring it. You helped put the museum, the Sport Karate Museum, on the map. And I want to say thank you for that, buddy. You know, you really did.
Well, you know, as we've talked in the past, Gary, you know, the biggest mistake that I feel that has transpired in the martial arts is we've lost so many great martial artists, and we with that loss, we didn't archive the talent and the knowledge that these individuals have. And I think where you're going and how you're captivating this information, you remember Ted Kress from the U.S. Open?
Yes.
In
St. Yes.
Petersburg, Florida? I remember
I
was down there one year, and the daytime tournament was over, so we were waiting for the evening event, the Battle of the Superstars, I think you called it back then. And
yes.
We were all getting ready to fight, and he was back there interviewing Tony Palmore, you know, and several other of the fighters. And, you know, I know that he had a really unique and large archives of all these great fighters. Now, I was trying to get a hold of Miro Farkas the other day. Do you know what happened to his archives?
I can give you Emil's personal phone number. You know, he's dealing with his father right now, but Emil is very important to me because I was very close to Corky, John Corcoran, and you know him and Emil put together the Blue Encyclopedia, and you know Emil and I are pretty good friends, and we go back a long time too. So when we hang out tonight, I'll give you Emil's personal number, and you guys can communicate because he's got some amazing stuff, but he's dealing with his dad right now. I think his dad's like 100 years old, and he's dealing with that, you know. So God bless Emil. So listen, Toki,
one of the unique things that had happened with the development of the professional teams that we put together, we were able to take the open style or open circuit fighters, you know, the guys, remember back in the day, Karate Illustrated and all these other different...
Leonardo Martin, Kurt Schumann.
Oh, yeah.
All those
and guys. I used to tell these people from, you know, the USNKF, I said, you guys, you need to bring these guys in. I mean, you know, it's there's so much talent out there. And, of course, you know, the traditional styles were very closed-minded. And, you know, each different style or individual thought they had the best style in the world, you know. So, but, you know, we were fortunate back in the late 70s to be able to compete on the open circuit and go to, I'll tell you a funny story. Keith Vitale and a bunch of, so we were out and, you know, we were going to all the, you know, the Battle of Atlanta, you know, all these different events. And then they said, all right, I'll see you next week at the Diamond Nationals. And I'll never forget this. And I said, nah, man, I can't make it. I got a state qualifier to go to. Because, see, back then you had to qualify at a state level. Well, a state level then a regional level, and then you qualified for the national. So it was a process. You know,
listen, Tony, let me say something to you. One of the biggest accomplishments and wins I feel I did in my career was winning the USAF Nationals in Dallas in weapons. I mean,
I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
there were 77 people in our division. There was so many people.
Oh, yeah, it was no joke.
But we had to qualify. We had to qualify.
Yep.
And you know what? I tried to qualify in fighting in Houston, and Ishiomi, the Goju guy from Okinawa, he didn't qualify me for stomping a guy, so I didn't get to qualify in fighting that nationals.
Right. Yeah.
Tucky, don't go nowhere, buddy. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to bring you back at the end of the segment, and we're going to play the Legends name game. This is where I'll say a name, and you get to talk about them, and that's how we'll close the show out.
Hey, Gary.
Okay, my friend.
Togi, I wasn't sure if you knew that the Pan Am Games are in Cleveland this July, mid-July.
Yes, sir. I'm coming up there.
Oh, great. I'm planning on competing, actually.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I think Pat Hickey, Mr. Hickey's running that.
Right.
Yeah.
We've been in contact.
Yeah.
You know what, Togi? You mentioned Mr. Hickey. I got to tell you, he gave me George Anderson's red belt uniform, 10th degree black belt certificate from the museum. God bless Patrick Hickey. I like Patrick. He's a good guy.
Anyway,
don't go nowhere. I'm going to bring you back.
I'll be right here.
In a few minutes, I promise. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the great Toki Hill. Oh, God, golly bum. I get goosebumps when I say his name. But anyway, we're going to bring you back in a few minutes. But, you know, one of the cool things about this show is I got to put together five incredible people from across the country to talk about various topics and subjects every week. And I get to introduce them now. They're called the five. Very simple. The five amazing martial artists from around the country. The first person I'd like to introduce, one of the original history generals of the Sport Karate Museum. She's from, she lives in North Carolina now. And I get really excited by introducing her every week because she's an original champion, a PKL champion in forms and fighting. But she's hanging out with the likes of Peter Urban and Luis Delgado and so many cool people. I won't bring her on right now, Miss Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there?
Yes, I am, sir. How are you?
What a fun show. You can tell when I got a great guest that I have memories with, so we're having a good time. Now, I have something to ask you tonight, Karen, that's kind of a sense of humor. Bring a smile to people's faces. You ready?
Oh, geez.
Okay. Question. How many martial artists does it take to screw in the light bulb? The answer, 100. One to screw it in, and 99 martial artists disagreeing what works on the street. Why? Why do 99 people disagree?
Oh, I'm telling you. Everyone thinks that their art is the best, the one, the only. And how many times I have seen at a demo or something, all of the masters or the teachers out in the, they go outside or something, oh, that would never work. That would never work. And everyone would have to demonstrate why it wouldn't work. It was just seemed to be the discussion. Nobody did it better than their art. That's it. And they would actually have to push each other around, showing each other why it wouldn't work. It was crazy. No one ever stood there and said, that was great, thank you. Nope, they had to argue about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just the way
it is. Well, you know what's funny, Karen? What's funny, Karen, you still got to screw in the light bulb.
Guy did that, right? One guy screws it in, all the rest say it wouldn't work on the street. Yeah.
Cool. So, anyway.
That's funny.
A little sense of humor. I appreciate your your opinion. I appreciate who you are.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to see you in October at the Legends. That's going to be so much fun. Yes,
me
ma'am.
Too.
And
yes.
You're doing a seminar. You're doing a seminar for us in Tai Chi.
Yes, I am.
And you're going to have a booth to showcase who you are to our public.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to have autographed pictures of you. We're going to have a booth. Also, in fact, I get to introduce the second lady of the five. And she's going to be making the booth for all you guys to make you famous. And she is a Texas champion, a ladies' lady. She used to be in the, well, she used to beat up men. And I love it. I get to introduce her every week. It's taken me a year just to learn how to pronounce her name properly. Her name is Mortis Radilac with an E. Not an A, but with an E. Mortis, you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Good evening, everyone.
How are you, Mortis? Good to hear your voice.
I'm doing good.
How are
Thank
you?
You for, I'm sorry I didn't hear
you. I knew that was AJ asking you how you doing.
Hey, AJ, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Always nice to hear your voice. Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Well, Mortis, I got a little fun question tonight, okay? The question is, how many martial artists does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is 100. But one screws it in, but the other 99 disagree what works on the street. Why? Why don't they get along? Why don't they understand?
First of all, you're asking me the question, so I'm going to give you this answer. The answer is, out of 99 on the street would not agree. Well, maybe they're all short like me, and it depends on how tall the ladder is. Screw in the light bulb. But I think that most, like Karen was saying, they all disagree with how it's supposed to be done. We all go to different schools, our instructors, and with the basics are, to me, what make up the martial arts and the techniques, how you're taught to practice.
The
kion,
yes.
Most of the 99 that would not agree are, you know, we're always going to have that disagreement with each other. I don't care where we are. It's always a disagreement with other schools because they think that their way of doing it is the best way. And so your way might not be the best way in everyone else's opinion. But,
well, it's funny you mentioned the fundamentals, and the word is Kihon. Kihon, K-H-I-O-N, Kihon. And Kihon is, you know, it's really cool. Everybody has the fundamentals. Everybody pretty much does the basics, the fundamentals. And then when they get into the ego and the advanced stages, it goes crazy. Yeah, it goes crazy.
Yeah.
But they don't get along.
It does.
And, you know, I never understood that because, like I said, everybody learns a front snap kick or a round kick or a back fist or reverse punch, but changes. I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Mortis. Hope you feel better. And I know you're a little under the weather, but God bless you, Mortis. And I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, everyone.
You bet. And listen, before I let you go, tell my listeners a little bit of what we're going to expect in October when you're doing the special booth for the AMAA radio celebrities that we have on the pod. Tell them about what you've got planned.
Well, I'm planning to get in touch with all of you five, with all of us, four of the other four history generals. And, you know, I really want it to be something very, very, very special. I'm really excited about it. It's very important for all of the people, all of the martial artists to see us and put a face, you know, the face with the name of who they're listening to each week. And it's very important to me, it's very important to all of us, that they know who we are, what we've done, what we've accomplished, and it's essential that it's going to just put everything out there about who we are. I'm going to be calling on each of you to see what you can bring, that's very important and deep in your heart, so that you can, all of us can know who we really are, and recognize the fact that we have been around for many, many years doing martial arts.
Martis, honey, listen. The radio personalities that we put together on the Parts Unknown is very special, and you're very special. Thank you for
stepping
up and doing that and doing a booth for the AMAA Network and the Parts Unknown radio show. And I wanted to say thank you. Really, I really appreciate that. So you take care, Lourdes. Promise me you'll take care, and I'll call you. I'll call you real soon, I promise.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Super.
Thank you very much.
Super. You bet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce the next gentleman, I want to say something that's on my heart. You know, we lost a couple of really important history generals this past week, and two very close people to the museum. One was Mr. Bob Nuttall, who ran the University of Karate there in Weatherford, Texas. And he was one of the first Texans to step up for the museum. And rest in peace, Bob. God bless you, buddy. The other gentleman was from Laredo. And honestly, I had quite a few wars with this guy to help him. Well, he helped me break into Texas. And we're going to miss him. His name was Mr. Chris Martinez. So, Chris, rest in peace, buddy. You and Bob, we'll see you in Dojo Heaven real soon. God bless you. Now, this next gentleman, Bob, he's a history general, but in real life, he's a retired colonel, a Marine, a hero, a Silver Star recipient. One of the original, well, he is one of the original advisory board of the military group that runs the Spokane Museum Awards for the military. He's a personal advisor for the Spokane Museum. And I'm so proud to introduce an American hero, my friend, Colonel Bill Torres. Colonel, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
I practice in the mirror every day just to say it the right.
Yes, sir.
So how you doing, Colonel?
Doing well, thank you.
Super. Now, I got a little sense of humor tonight, and we talked about this, but I'm going to hit you with the topic. It's real fun. Okay, question. How many martial artists does it take to screw in a light bulb? Answer, one. The other 99, or the 99 others, disagree what works on the street. Why? Why do they disagree?
Because over the years, or I'd say over the decades, maybe more so in the past than I spend it now, but everyone was taught that their style or system is the best. And even though most of us are doing a lot of the same things, we're all doing kicks and punches and blocks, very similar, whether it's Shaolin Ryu, Ishin Ryu, or Shotokan, Motobu Ryu. We're all doing the same things with some nuances, some that makes it a little different, but we're all taught from the beginning that their style is the best. And it isn't until we're up in age and experience that we learn that there's much to learn from the other styles and other systems. And we open up ourselves to you know, after doing it for 40 or 30, 40 or 50 years, we open up ourselves to be enlightened by others. But up at the beginning, I think most people are taught and they're kind of narrow-minded about their particular system or style being the best. And there are egos involved with senseis and individuals about I've got the best dojo. And there's a lot of secrecy, not as much as I saw in the 60s and 70s. There's a lot of secrecy, and that secrecy creates mystique. And that mystique for a particular style also creates that I am different, you should join me, etc. So there's a lot of reasons that we're taught, but it isn't until we are later in life that we kind of open up our minds and say, wow, I want to try this other style, or I want to try this other system. And I see a lot of older karatekas try BJJ or some grappling system, other grappling system. So we allow ourselves to then learn more later rather than earlier.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your wisdom, Colonel, because you've been through the ringer. I know you have. And for crying back, you won a Sika championship back in the day in the 70s. What city was that in that you won that Sika championship?
That was in White Oak High School in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And Donald Bohan. Donald Bohan was the tournament director.
Yeah,
for
that sure. Yeah, I remember Mr. Bohan. I do. He's a great guy. Well, listen, Colonel.
He was.
God bless you, and you take care, sir. And I'll see you in October. You're going to be doing a special speaking. You're going to be doing a seminar. You're going to have a booth. We're going to be showcasing you big time. So you take care, Colonel. God bless you, sir.
We are going to have fun. And we are going to make sure that others also have fun, especially the kids.
Yes, sir. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Colonel Bill Torres.
Hey, Professor.
Now, yes. Who's
Professor.
There?
Gary.
Yes.
Hello. Kind of segueing from what the Colonel said. In martial arts, we have more in common than we do differences on the whole as far as styles and schools. And in my humble opinion, the ones with the real strong ideas that their system's the best, that technique won't work, this technique won't work, the vast majority in martial arts out there have never been in a real combat street situation. But there sure is a whole lot of opinions out there. You know, and
yeah,
I do believe we have a lot more in common than we do differences.
Yes, you're absolutely right, AJ. People don't have that in martial arts, that street fighting mentality. They have that flat belt mentality that was passed down. But as far as surviving on the street, as you know, the street fighter is the most dangerous person in the world because he'll do anything, or she will do anything, to survive. Martial artist has to learn that, or they have to establish that or experience that before they can really execute their techniques. I don't know. But that's a good point, AJ. That's a great point. Thank you so much. Now, the last, I got two more of the five, ladies and gentlemen. And this next man, we're working very close with him for the past couple of years. I'm only going on 3 years now. I don't know. But anyway, a few years back, they put me in as a historian into the United
Hello,
States.
Hello, Gary. Adam.
Fame. Hey, Adam. Okay, 1 second, buddy. 1 second. And
you got it.
You bet. That was the other five. So he'll be on just a minute. But anyway, this man, he is taking it over. He is now the president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And, you know, people ask me all the time, or they email me, why? Why? There's so many Hall of Fames out, Gary Lee. Why are you involved with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame? Well, one, because I'm a member. I'm an alumni. Two, anything with the United States in front of it that's authentic is powerful. That's why I support this man. And he's got vision, ladies and gentlemen. He's an author. He is known throughout the world as the Black Belt Leader. That's right. He's on tour right now doing his book. He's an amazing guy. And I get him on the show every week. And we're going to get to honor him, do a tribute to him this year at the Legends. With my pleasure, distinct pleasure, I get to introduce my friend, Dr. John Terry. John, are you there?
I am here, sir. Good evening to you.
Well, I'm having a fun time with Tokyo. He's just an old friend. And, you know, I get to talk to you guys every week, and I get excited. I get motivated. Now, you're in Houston. You're doing a tour. But, you know,
yes, sir.
I want to ask you a fun question tonight, because you're always so wise and serious. I want a fun question. Here it is. Question. How many martial artists does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer, 100. One to screw it in, and 99 of those martial artists disagree with what works on the street. Why, John? Why?
You know, Professor Lee, as I listened to Colonel Torres share his story, I 100% agreed with the comments that he made. And in thinking back to when I started in the martial arts in the early 70s, it was a time of what we refer to today as tribalism. Everybody was very protective of their brand. They were very protective of their style. If you trained in Kempo, that's all you trained in. If you trained in Ishin Ryu, that's all you trained in. Everybody tended to train in one specific style and stayed uniquely connected to that one grandmaster that they trained under. And as a result of that, it became a sense of instructors oftentimes protecting their brand out of fear, not realizing that there are hundreds of people they have yet to reach that could be taught the martial arts. And so this idea of teaching in secret, where you would show up in many dojos, you wouldn't be able to see in and watch what was being taught. As a result of that, it added to the mystique, but it also added to the sense of tribalism that if I belong to this group is the only group that matters. And when that groupthink sets in, all of a sudden you get this mindset that what I'm learning is the best of the best and nothing else is as good as what I'm learning because you've not been exposed to it. Now, add to that what AJ just shared, and AJ just shared that what we've seen today is that there are more things we have in common. I mean, the human body as a kinetic machine only moves in so many different directions and can only do so many different types of blocks, punches, and kicks. And we've evolved and learned over time how to appreciate the diversity of all the different arts. And we can learn from one another when we're open and willing to do that. But if we go back to the early days, when everybody was protective of their little group of people, you had this sense of fear and protection that ended up causing everybody to really just kind of avoid learning what else was out there and really focus on just that one brand that they were connected to. And to them, that was their universe. And they didn't realize the universe of martial arts is so much bigger and broader. And we see that today with everybody being willing to cross-train and learn and being open and willing to learn from one another, we've come a long, long way from where this first got started.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, so what is your next city after Houston? Because you're in Houston.
Well, I do Houston in the morning. I'm doing a private event in the morning for an organization out of California that has got me doing a tour speaking to financial professionals in Houston. So I'll do that event in the morning, and then I'll travel to San Antonio, and I'll do the same thing for another group of financial professionals teaching black belt secrets of success in terms of how they operate and run their business and how they operate and work with their clients. So we're having a fun time having an opportunity to learn and teach black belt principles of success, not just in the dojo, but in the corporate America, and have an opportunity to inspire people to discover, develop, and deploy their own black belt leader within themselves and become a world-class master of who they are and what they do.
Yes, sir. Now, we're having a big event at the New Orleans. I say we, because, you know, you're doing it, but we are doing it. We're doing it together in the sense of attitude. At the New Orleans in Las Vegas, July the 18th to the 20th, with a camp, and you bring in some really cool people, and a lot of people from the museum are going to support you. They're from Vegas, Mr. Jerry Smith, James Moore, Paul Tenio, Marty Walker. I mean, we got a crew, Robert City. They're going to be there to support you through the museum. Now, tell the listeners, my listeners who are listening, where it's going to be at exactly, how they get in touch with you, if they want to get involved. Go, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead. Go out, rock.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. This is going to be the 25th anniversary of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Our event's going to be held at the Orleans Hotel, right there in the heart of downtown Las Vegas. Information, you can find it, United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame.com. We open on Thursday with a full-day, two-and-a-half-day camp, 15 master-level instructors, each teaching a different martial arts discipline each hour. Everybody gets to be a white belt for 2.5 days. We convene the Grand Master's Council for folks that have lost their instructor and are looking to advance, where they can test before a number of very well-respected grandmasters representing a broad diversity of the martial arts. And then Saturday night, we're going to be honoring the inductee class of 2024 into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. It's going to be an amazing event. You can register for the camp. You can purchase tickets for the banquet at United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame.com.
Super. Will you be safe in your travels? And I'll
absolutely,
talk to
my
you
friend.
Next week, sir. I'll talk to you
Sounds
soon.
Sounds good,
bless
you. Thank you, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. John Kerry, the president of the United States Martial Arts Marble Hall of Fame. Now, the end of five is an amazing man that's been a part of my journey for a long time. We worked with Bob Wall, the great Bob Wall, rest in peace, at World Black Belt. And we became friends. And he is a history general. He also was best friends with another man that was very close to me, Mr. Leo Fong, rest in peace. Now, he also is a Okinawa karate stylist trained in Hawaii. Oof. And he also is a kung fu stylist. But now he runs Rainbow Productions, and he's the new Doc Savage. He's got a series that's coming out. It's so cool. But I got him on the air. He's one of my dearest, dearest history generals, Mr. Adam James. Adam, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. Thank you so much
for
having me.
Well, hello, buddy. Aloha. What a great show tonight.
Aloha. Oh, my gosh.
Aloha,
yes.
Brother. Aloha.
I've been so impressed with all the
comedy tonight. A little comedy, yeah. A little light comedy. Question.
Yes.
How many martial artists does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer, 100. One to screw it in, and 99 martial artists disagree what works on the street. Why, Adam?
Yes.
Why?
It's like in Hawaii, we used to joke about how you didn't have to put a lid on a barrel of Samoan crabs, because as one tries to climb out, the rest of them grab them and pull them back down. But, you know, that's what I love about really great martial artists, and that's what I so enjoyed about tonight's comments, is really great martial artists are very supportive of each other. Yes, we can look and analyze, but we tend to be polite and professional and positive in our commentary. You know, what was so great about being around Bob and Leo and Jean LaBelle is they were around other great martial artists all the time, and they were quick to point out things. But they'd always do it with a twinkle in the eye and a smile, always being polite, always looking to help. And I loved what I heard earlier about the fiefdoms. You know, that was actually something Bob would talk about a lot, is how a lot of martial artists have this fiefdom attitude, their own little territory, and they didn't want to give it up. So that's unfortunate. But we live in such a great world now, and people are so much more open to embracing each other, getting to know more martial arts, and that helps the martial arts community as a whole. So I'm so appreciative of the leadership that I heard tonight in the comments.
Well, it's been an amazing show. And, you know, you are part of the five, Adam. And every week we get to hear your wisdom, your attitude.
Okay.
Now,
thank you.
I said something in the comments. you're the new Doc Savage. That's correct, right?
It is a new streaming series that is inspired by the original 1930s Pulp Fiction character, Doc Savage. But our character is new. It's a new modern telling shot in Central Valley, California, Fresno, if you're familiar with that area. And it's connected with the whole martial arts community. We have a fantastic actor playing the main villain. His name is Americus Abasamas, a former USA sumo champion, and an actor who's been in movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, Let's Be Cops, and most recently. So it's a really cool little show. It's going to be coming out later this year, and I'll have more information about that on a future show.
I can't wait to advertise it. So, Adam, you take
Thank
care,
you,
buddy. God bless you.
Like
and I'll see you next week.
Terrific.
Ladies and
great
gentlemen,
show,
this is Adam James from Rainbow Productions, a great, great friend of the museum. Now, you know what? What's really cool is this show is, well, I want to say the word sponsored, but they help us a lot. And I want to put a big shout out to my buddy George Chung in Bobo Magazine, which he just bought, Mr. Mike Diller, who he bought it from, who owns Century Martial Arts. He's been a big, big supporter of what we do. And, of course, Set VR, XL Unleashed, the new virtual reality platform done on the Oculus Quest and the Rift and the Apple Pro Vision. This takes you into a world of martial arts. The history generals will be there, all the profiles. You have to get, well, you have to meet up a hologram. You have to go to the weapons wall and choose an Okinawa weapon. You get to fight a samurai with a sword. But mainly you'll get to learn the profiles of many of the history generals that you can find out who they are by going to www.sportkarate.museum/archives.com. And you can see all the history generals that will be there profiled at the amazing Set VR XL Unleashed. That means self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality. Big shout out to Dr. Reginald Lee because he's normally here with me. He's one of the inventors. He's with his family, so God bless him on his travels. Now, I want to bring back my special guest, my buddy Toki Hill. Toki, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with a couple names, and you can talk about them, you know, real quick because I'll hit you a few names. You ready?
I'm ready, Bob.
Okay. Keith Vitale, you got 1 minute.
Keith Vitale, probably the most versatile martial artist I've ever competed against, and I had the honor of knowing. He, you know, talent physically, but his attributes as he was a very strategic fighter. Yeah, he was an awesome guy.
You bet. The great, and I'll say this again, the great Goju coach, Chuck Merriman.
I'll tell you, man, Chuck was a very special person. I've had the honor of being coached and coached and later on in my career, coached against some great ones, but his ability to manipulate the rules for the best benefit of the athlete was just unbelievable. You know,
We got to throw a lady in there, Miss Linda Dinley, because I know you were on the same team with her. Go ahead, yeah. Miss Linda Dinley.
She was probably one of the greatest fighters I've ever met or known. You know, I tried and tried to get her to come to the U.S. team trials. And, I mean, she's just a phenomenal person, both in the ring and outside the ring. These people that
Tucky, she used to drive 40 miles one way early 80s. She's an amazing fighter. In fact, she's the only woman I ever saw beat up a man one night at the Fight Club. And it was amazing.
Oh, wow.
She is incredible. She really is. I got one more for
you,
Tucky. One more. I got one more for you. Chuck Norris.
Say it again.
Chuck Norris, Carlos.
I don't even know how to start. I mean, what he's done for the industry and what he's done for, martial arts in general. You know,
yes.
No matter what style or system, it doesn't matter. The thing of it is, everybody has something to bring, and Mr. Norris, he brought a lot. He brought a lot in mainstreaming the industry to the general population. You know, I just he's an amazing guy, both inside and outside the ring. He's a great representation of our industry.
Well, you are a hero to many, especially to myself and to my son. And I appreciate you so much, you spending time with me tonight and share with the world. Now, I got one question to ask you before you go. Okay. I know I'm known to be a little nuts, a little crazy, but you know what?
Mm.
What you said earlier was cool about keeping that history alive, about the people we've lost. How important is it that the Sport Crowd Museum exists?
Well, without that, we don't have, we don't have the library. We don't have the artifacts. We don't have, the history. I mean, there's life after sport. So, you train before you get into the sport, then you train after. I mean, some of your guests, summed it up so eloquently that, all forms of martial arts have something to offer. And as long as it's taught with the right principles and has the character building blocks in it, I mean, it's an amazing sport. Like I said, I've been involved in many international games that have been multi-sports, but I've never seen or never experienced a sport art form that benefits an individual like the martial arts has. And, I believe that with all my heart.
Well, this has been a very, very special show, not only for the world that listens to it weekly, but to me personally, Tucky. You take care, buddy, and you take care of Ohio.
You too.
Take care of New York, and I hope to have a beer with you real soon, buddy.
Hey,
like old times.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much,
God
Gary,
bless you.
And it was an
God
honor to be
you.
On there with your guest. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Sir.
Hopefully get a chance
you
to
bet.
See the PNN game, Shogi.
Say it again, sir.
Hopefully get a chance to see you at the PNN games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you.
It'd be great to see you.
You too, my
friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for allowing us, the Parts Unknown crew, to be in your living room tonight. A big shout out to our producer, Hunky Jesse Bowen. And we missed Dean Powell tonight, the Wolverine, and we miss Dr. Lee. But we'll be back next Tuesday night with another incredible guest. On behalf of the Five, on behalf of the Sport Karate Museum, and Professor Gary Lee, as we say every week, much, much mahalo. Aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Not everyone.